Amen. Would you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3? I've constructed this message just a little different tonight in that I want to take a few minutes to lay a foundation, and then when I get to the points I want to share, I'm going to do those very quickly towards the end. I appreciate what the Lord has been doing amongst us, and I believe it's just a precursor of what He wants to do. You know, and I know what God wants to do. It's really simple. He wants to save and help folks. Amen. And all of that brings Him glory. That's the overarching thing of everything that's done, is to bring glory to God, Creator, Redeemer God. But He does that by helping and saving folks. If you're in the service tonight and you don't know Christ, there is a personal relationship with your Creator. Think about that. You know, it's not that He establishes a relationship between strangers. He is your Creator, and He wants a relationship with you. Amen. We had talked about gifts. I began to talk about what it meant to be a part of the church. And I'm going to speak in general terms tonight, but something I feel is very important. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word, and then you can keep your Bibles open. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. The Apostle Paul says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Verse 17, "If any person defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy." That's how God feels about His temple. "For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." So He says it in verse 16. He says it in verse 17. He says, "Ye are the temple." I do this very rarely, but I want you to look around at everybody. Just kind of look around and say to all of them, "Ye are the temple." Amen. Now, here's what I want to get to tonight. I think my grandson started that one. Here's what I want to get to tonight. Turns in the temple. Turns in the temple. Remember, I'm going to lay this foundation, but that's what I want to get to tonight. Turns in the temple. Would you pray with me and for me? Thank you, Father, for your mercy and your goodness. We worship you, Creator, Redeemer God, and we thank you for what you've already spoken, how you've already helped in this service. Lord, you're mindful of us. You remember our frame, Lord. Lord, you know how we need your help. Lord, you know what is in the week ahead. And I thank you for preparing the hearts of your people. Now, Lord, move through the preaching of the word. Draw us closer to your purposes and your plan. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Let me just tell you the purpose of this message tonight, and it's that we would see that every time we sincerely gather in worship, every time we gather to hear the Word of God, we form a place where the Spirit of God is active. Think about that. There's some qualifiers there. But when we sincerely meet to worship and sincerely meet to hear the Word of God, we form a place where the Spirit is active. I want to be that place. Brother Aaron has told me about a house, a guy's building that he's helped with some. And if I'm correct, he's taken car, automobile tires, and he's building the walls out of them, automobile tires, and he fills them up with dirt. Can you imagine building your house out of tires? Maybe it's good insulation. I'm sure that. Amen. And you know, you kind of marvel at that, but do you realize what God's done? Look around. I don't mean this insulting, but look around. God's taken... some of us are bald tires, but anyway, God has taken us Think about this. God has taken us and built His house. Isn't that something wonderful? God has taken us. The church at 1101 North Union Road isn't built with blocks and brick and wood. The church at 1101 North Union Road is built with the people you see gathered here, the believers in Jesus Christ that are sitting at this moment in the pews. You are the church of the living God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not these four walls that create the structure and the place where the Spirit dwells. It is a gathering of you believers that create the place where the Spirit dwells. Let me just put it this way. Something happens when we all get together. Hallelujah. Believing in the name of Jesus, washed in the blood, when we all come together in sincerity to worship Him in spirit and in truth, amen, we become the place where the Spirit moves. I like to say, if that's true, that's why it's so important we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Because when we come together, look at these verses again. Verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? I'm not seeking to get involved in exposition tonight, but I want you to know we have many, many times mistook this scripture, because we immediately take this scripture and say, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? And we're talking about our physical body. There is a chapter for that. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, and that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, where your individual body. That is a truth. That's not the truth of these verses. It is true that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and your body, and your body. That's not what these verses are saying. And let me show you this just from the grammar. Know ye. That's plural for you. That's old King James English plural for you. We Okies would say, you all, y'all. Amen. That means more than one you. I'm not just talking to you, Brother Rose. When I say you this way, I'm talking about everybody in the congregation. That is plural. Know ye not that ye, all of you, are the temple, not temples of God, but temple of God. You, plural, form a singular temple of God. And He didn't just stop there. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Yes, we'll get to that later, in you and you as an individual. But right here He's saying, you are the temple, and the Spirit of the Lord dwells within the temple that you construct. Amen. Again, marvels of marvels. This body of Christ, this body of believers, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about that today. Amen. All across this world, some in different time zones, all across this city, true believers gathered in the name of Jesus, and every place where they gathered, the Spirit of the Lord dwelt amongst them. Oh, that's so wonderful. We're not having a social thing here tonight. This isn't club meeting. Amen. This is a gathering, and in this gathering, the Holy Spirit dwells. Oh, what a wonderful thought. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and 20, here's His promise. For where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst of them. Amen. You know, many, many times, the only time folks break out this scripture is when you were planning a nice meeting and not hardly anybody showed up. We're going to have church tonight, and an ice storm hits, and we look out, and there's just 15 folks here. So we need a verse to go with that. I know there's not many of us here, but the Bible says, for where two or three are gathered in My name, there I am in the midst of them. And whatever comfort that leads in those situations, that's fine and wonderful. But that's not what it's saying. Amen. It's not given as an excuse for a small crowd or a small gathering. What it is saying is, amen. You come here, Brother Ryan. Come here, Brother Nathan. Go ahead, Jerry. Come ahead. Amen. Two or three or four. If we are here, we're not here to play games. We're not here just to socialize. We're not here just to have a good time. We are having this meeting. The order of business is Jesus. The reason we've come together is Jesus. We're going to pray in His name. We're going to believe in His name. We're going to worship in His name. We're going to hear the word in His name. Hallelujah. When that is our purpose, when Jesus is the reason for our gathering, thank you. Amen. He is going to be there. And how is He there? He is there in the presence and the power and the moving of His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We can gather anywhere. How many believes this? We can gather anywhere and the Spirit will dwell the house we form by our gathering. You can get your family together tomorrow, and if you're meeting in the name of Jesus, the Spirit will be there. And so we can meet anywhere in His name and He will be there. But listen, there is this truth. We can gather anywhere, but there is a place, a physical place, designed and designated for gathering where worship is conducive. Look around. This building of walls isn't the church. It was built to house the church. Right? We can meet anywhere, but this sanctuary has been designed and designated as a place where we can gather in His name and His Spirit can fill us. That's why, on a practical note, that's why we don't bring in our microwave dinners and our coffee cups and clip our toenails and all of that in here. This place is designated and designed for worship. Amen. You can worship anywhere, but aren't you glad for a place that is set aside and designed where you can find it conducive to worship God? It's kind of like, you know, you can eat anywhere in your house. You can. You can eat in the bedroom. You can get your plate and glass of iced tea. You can eat in the bedroom. You can eat in the closet. You can eat in the laundry room. Some kids' manners, they need to eat there, but that's beside the point. You can eat in any room of your house. But how many knows there's a room in your house that is designed and designated for eating, and it's a good place to eat? Amen. And that's the way it is with the church physical structure. You can worship anywhere, but thank God for a place that is designed and designated. This sanctuary is dedicated to the worship of Jesus Christ. It is not the church. It houses the gathering of the church. Every temple of God throughout history had one purpose. That was to be a place that housed the presence of God, that housed the power and the Spirit of God. You know, there was a wonder to this of those that built the temple. Amen. I believe it was Solomon said, God, the heaven and the heavens of heaven cannot contain you. And yet you said you would dwell in this house if we would build it. Oh, He's a mighty God. Let me tell you again, the heaven and the heavens cannot contain Him. But there is a place that He has chosen to manifest Himself and His Spirit. And that is the church. Each one of us is a block in the building that houses the Spirit of God. Amen. Each one of us tonight, we've come here, we've gathered, we make up that temple. Amen. Could you help me again? One block by itself. Hallelujah. That does not make a building. You didn't realize it when you walked to church. You're just a block. Just one block. Can you see one cinder block tonight? That's not going to make a building. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's make a wall. This one block's not going to make a wall. Thank you. Just stand right there. No, just stand right there. That's not a wall, is it? But let's get another block. Stand right there. Come on, Jared. Let's get another block. Come on, Andrew. Another block. Come on, Noah. Another block. Come on. We don't want to waste mortar. Get it. Make it tighter there. We get enough blocks, we've got a wall, don't we? And I'm not going to make the rest of you get up. You came to church just one block. Right? But we all came together. We formed the place that the Spirit dwells. How many has felt the Spirit tonight? Amen. I said, amen. Now let me tell you, you may have come to church just as one block, but every block is important. Look right here. Thank you. What happened to our wall just when one block didn't show? Right? Thank you, guys. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Imagine this wall over. You can't tell it's got plaster on it. There's cinder block there, and then there's brick. Can you imagine tonight if just one block was missing out of that wall? Maybe not so much tonight, but last week you sure would have. But it was so cold. Just one block makes a difference. Now, I told you we're going to lay a foundation here. No pun intended. Amen. The foundation is Jesus Christ. Amen. We are the blocks that make the building. And so in each of these temples throughout history, God had one purpose: fill that temple. This is important. He always filled the place before he filled the individual. Think about that. Look here in Acts chapter 2. We Pentecostals always gravitate to this. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled what? It filled all the house where they were sitting. They'd been praying for 10 days, worship for 10 days. They're sitting not because they're lazy. They're just waiting on the Lord. And he filled all the house. He filled the place. Let's read on. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. He filled the house and then he filled the individual. And again, not just the house of the physical walls, but the gathering of believers. It's always been that way in history. God gave Moses a pattern, told the children of Israel to build that tabernacle in the wilderness. We spent weeks on that a while back. I miss it already. But God built that tabernacle. What happened when he got the tabernacle built? What did the Bible say? When he got the tabernacle built, the glory of God descended and filled it. Let me read it to you. In Exodus 40, he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. The tabernacle is completed. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. They built the tabernacle. It's completed. The glory of the Lord fills it. After the tabernacle that was made out of skins and linen and those things. Later Solomon built a house with the materials David, his father, collected. It was a massive thing. It was a brilliant building. Amen. Every way. It was richly ornamented with precious metals. Oh, what a house. But it was still empty. But when Solomon got the house completed, the house of God completed, what happened? Once again, the glory of God filled that house. Here it is, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the praise could not enter in to the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord that filled the Lord's house. Are you seeing the picture? Build the tabernacle, get it completed. God's glory fills it. Build the temple, get it completed. God's glory fills it. Oh, but there's another temple. I said, there's another temple. Jesus came by and saw a tax collector. Hallelujah. He said, I'm building it, my temple. Amen. He saw an old loudmouth fisherman. Amen. He said, I'm a building my temple. Amen. He saw Zacchaeus up in a tree. He said, I'm a building my temple. Amen. And this is just an illustration. He saw a lady of ill repute. No one else wanted to have anything to do with her. But he said, I'm building a temple. And I'll tell you what happened. He walked this earth. He gathered up the building material. He built the temple. And when it was completed on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down. And the glory of the Lord filled not a physical building, but filled the gathering of believers. And not just filled the gathering of believers, he filled each of the individual hearts. I'm telling you, that's still God's will, that every time his people gather, he wants to come down and fill us. us with his glory. Thank you. How many's got a desire to see the glory of God in the gathering of his people? The body of Christ is a body of believers that's global and spans two worlds, earth and heaven. Yet the body is always expressed locally. I want you to notice when he said, ye are the temple, he was talking to the gathering of believers at Corinth. If he had been writing to Ephesus, he would have said to them at Ephesus, ye are the temple. And if he wrote to us, he would say to us at 1101 North Union Road, he would have said, ye are the temple. Because this great thing, the church, the body, the temple of Christ, amen, it is expressed locally. Oh, hallelujah. I know you know it. I'm just trying to get it out. Ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit at this location. And we should expect his Spirit to be amongst us. We must believe this. Church, when we gather in his name, when we worship in his name, when we've come to hear his word in his name, when we've come to give our tithe and offerings in his name, when we've come to praise in his name, when we've come to minister to one another in his name, we form a place that the Spirit has chosen to dwell. The most important thing about every gathering we have is that the Spirit will have the freedom to have his way. I want you to look at verse 17 before we bring this together. But if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. 1 Corinthians 7:13. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. You see, God wants us in unity. Because that forms the walls of the temple. And he feels so strongly about this. He said, if anybody destroys a temple, amen, you're a good block. Would you stand up? This is a part of the temple. And just because of my old selfish ways, and I want to say what I want to say and do what I want to do, here he is. He's a new believer. I'm in the analogy here, he's newly come to Christ, but I've just aggravated with him, and I just tell him off and let him have, and I just run him off. God don't like that. You are destroying the temple of God. See, when we left this to the body, we just want to talk about smoking cigarettes and drinking beer, because we're talking about this body right here being a temple. But we realize that we're the temple. Anything that defiles this temple, then it's not cigarettes, it's gossip. Hurting people's feelings. Amen. Not being in unity. Here's the thing about the unity of the Spirit. Nowhere does Paul say we can ever produce the unity of the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit comes when we're in the Spirit. It happens. But he did say, keep the unity of the Spirit. Amen. And sometimes when pastors preach things, you say, you must know something we don't know. No, none of that. I just want to encourage us. Every person's important. May we never do anything to destroy the unity and harmony, because it's in the unity and harmony that we have the togetherness that forms the temple where the Spirit dwells. Can you say amen? The purpose of the physical walls is to create a place where some things are shut out and some things are shut in. I didn't realize, I'd picked this up from a great man of God that I got to hear preach live just a few times. He used to teach at OBI, Brother A.N. Trotter, great missionary, great man of God. And somehow I heard him say it on a tape once, and I just picked it up. But when he would pray over his message, he'd say, Lord, shut up my mind and heart to the truth. And I'd been praying that for some time here, and someone said, why do you always tell your mind to shut up? You know, when you're praying. But what it's the idea of, you got all this out here that wants to bombard you. You know, shut all that out. So nothing's in here but the truth. Did you know what that's what these walls are for? Physically and spiritually. The walls are to shut some things out and shut some things in. There's some things you don't want to come in the gathering of believers, because it'll defile it. How many knows worldliness does that? You don't ever want to be the one that brings in the worldly attitude. You know? That destroys the temple of God. Now, I told you these were cinder blocks, but if I had knocked just one of those out, you know what happened? The cold would come in. I know some of you that's thinking science. You say, no, heat always goes to cold. That's correct. Actually, the heat's escaping, except for the factor of the draft. And as soon as somebody opened the door back there, that cold air would rush in. Did you know when we're unified, we won't let things come in that would hurt and destroy the church? Amen. I want to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Together, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's always evident when the Spirit's at work. I've likened it to this sometimes. You know, the Spirit in a place is like the temperature. You can walk in from the outside tonight and you can say, it sure is warm in this sanctuary. How many knows you can tell heat and you can tell cold? In the summer, it's 100 degrees. You walk in and say, it's sure cool. You know, you can tell when the Spirit's at work. How many believe when the Spirit's in the house? Amen. What was that song they were singing a couple of years ago? The Spirit of the Lord is here. Is that it? The Spirit of the Lord is here. I can what? Feel Him in the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Don't you love the times when you walk in? Amen. It's been like that lately. We just begin service. And when is it that you're aware of that? It's when we begin to worship and the Spirit of the Lord is here. We lift up our hearts and our hands and the Spirit of the Lord is here. Amen. It's an evident thing. And I've said all that to say three things really quickly. When the Spirit is in the temple, there'll be turns in the temple. When the Spirit's in the place, number one, there'll be a turning around. There'll be a turning around. Wherever the Spirit is, there'll be a turning around. Amen. I never noticed it before, but a couple of weeks back, I was on Old Salem Road, or not Old Salem Road, but Westbrook Road, coming off of Old Salem there. And right there where Taywood picks up off of Westbrook, and across from Taywood there's a home and there's a driveway, and right at the end of the driveway on the street, there's a little sign that says, no turnarounds. And I understand they probably got a lot of folks missed that little jog in the road there, and they got to pull in the driveway to turn around. But there it is, no turnarounds right there in front of that house. I tell you what, for this place, for this gathering of believers, may there never be a visible or an invisible sign that says no turnarounds. I'll tell you, that's what we're about as a gathering of believers. That's what the Holy Spirit is about. It's about turnarounds. Aren't you glad to know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there will be turnarounds? Someone come in headed to hell, their life ruined and their life wrecked. Amen. Headed for destruction. They get in the gathering of believers and the Spirit of the Lord is moving, and all of a sudden their heart turns around, their life turns around, and they make a 180 degrees turn. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is here. I can feel Him in the atmosphere, and so can they. I said, so can they. Hallelujah. There's turnarounds. Amen. Marriages turn around in the Spirit of God. You've been thinking wrongly about some things. Amen. But you get in the Spirit of the Lord, He'll turn your way of thinking around. In the Spirit of the Lord, there's also a turning to. I'm telling you, folks, they have problems. They have troubles, physical, financial, and spiritual. Amen. They feel like they're at a dead end. But when they get in the presence of God, amen, suddenly they find themselves turning to God, turning to Him with their problem, turning to God for help, turning to God for healing, turning to God for hope. Hallelujah. You've got a problem. You've been trying to handle it yourself. It's been weighing you down, burning you down. Amen. But all of a sudden, you're in the Spirit of God, and you turn to Him and say, here's my problem. Here's my burden. Oh, hallelujah. How many knows when you're in the Spirit of the Lord? Amen. You quit trying to handle it yourself. You turn to God for help. The Spirit of God will cause that to happen. Amen. You've been harboring hurt and bitterness. But when the Spirit of the Lord begins to move, you'll turn to God. You see, that's what the Spirit's all about. I'm not going to preach. I told myself I wouldn't. He's the one that leads us into all truth. He's the one that speaks of Jesus. He's the one that takes the things of Christ and shows them to us. I'm telling you, in His Spirit, folks find themselves turning to God. Discouraged and depressed. Turning to God for help and hope. And last of all, in His presence, there'll be a turning from. I really believe this. When His Spirit begins to move, there'll be a turning from sin. He is the Holy Spirit. Amen. When He has come, He'll lead you into all truth. Amen. It also says He will reprove and rebuke. Amen. He'll convince us. It's just the way. That's always a mark of the true Spirit of God. And that is those that have sin in their lives. It's suddenly brought to the forefront. Amen. The Holy Spirit doesn't even have to try to do that. Light doesn't have to try to get rid of the darkness. You turn the light on, the darkness automatically leaves. But the same light that caused the darkness to leave will expose every flaw, every wrinkle, every soiled spot. Amen. And the Holy Spirit, it's His nature. He doesn't have to come and say, well, I'm going to point out sin tonight. It's His nature. It's His presence. And I tell you what happens when the Spirit of the Lord begins to move. Folks start turning from sin. The conviction will come. Say, oh, I've been doing that, but it's not right. I'm sorry, Lord. Isn't that the wonderful thing? Amen. Amen. They'll turn from things. They'll let things go. They'll give up things. That which hinders, that which pulls down, that which ensnares, that which entraps and binds and shackles, that which takes your passion for God, your love for Him, your spiritual desire. When you get in His presence, the Holy Spirit, you'll find yourself turning from those things. And that's why the moving of the Spirit is all important. And because the moving of the Spirit is all important, that's why it's all important that we have this unified gathering where His Spirit can dwell. Because it's only in His Spirit there'll be turnarounds and turning to and turning from. Hey, man, would you come, music? I like history, and I marvel sometimes. I remember we went to Mount Vernon, George Washington's house. I can't get over it. The only thing that's changed is time. I mean, there's a tree or two that's the same tree that when he was there, and it's the same furniture, and it's the same door that he opened, and the same. I mean, I just marveled when the guide said, talked about all the founding fathers and how they had every night when they went up to bed, they had put their hand on that handrail. You really weren't supposed to touch anything, but I had to, as we were going upstairs, I had to put my hand on that and say, John Adams had his hand right there. You look around, you see the furniture, personal effects, same house, same personal effects. And there's wonder in that, but George Washington is not there. And you know, that's the wonderful thing when we gather. Yes, there's the personal effects. We have the songs that we sing. We have the word that we read from. We have all the stories that we know from the Bible. But the difference is, He is here. Isn't that a wonderful place to be? Hallelujah. He is here. Oh, God, turn around. Turn folks to you. Turn folks from their sin by your holy presence. Amen. Amen. You know what I noticed? You know what I noticed even this morning? We had a great altar service, and I noticed afterwards some different groups, two in particular, of folks needing help. I saw a group over here of sisters, and they gathered in a circle, and they began to pray in the name of Jesus. You know what I knew? I knew that right in the middle of that circle, the Holy Spirit, even within the church, they were forming a temple where the Spirit could have His way. I'm telling you something real. I'm making this up. This isn't just theology. Amen. And I know there's right channels for things. Amen. But young people could just get together and say, we've gathered for one purpose. We've gathered in the name of Jesus. And just the youth, it might be in the prayer room. It might be in the young people's Sunday school class. It might be on a social night at the Vaughn Hall and somebody just says, you know, we need to pray. Let's gather together. Let's pray in the name. Did you know if you'll pray in faith believing, the Holy Spirit, I promise you, the Holy Spirit will be right there in your midst. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. That's why it doesn't have to. This is just a place conducive for it. But it can happen in a Sunday school room. I remember a time in high school, and teenagers will be teenagers, and I'd probably been out too late, probably had to work that night till 12. Got in Sunday school. Sometimes it's hard to keep your eyes open. Amen. But I remember several times the teacher began to teach God's word. We was back there in a Sunday school class, just teenagers. I remember the Spirit of the Lord coming by, and there would be message in tongues and interpretation in the young people Sunday school class. Amen. I remember the times back there in the prayer room before service, the young people would meet. We'd get ready to start service. Where's the young people? They're back there praying. What happened? When they got back there and gathered in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit said, now there's a temple I can dwell in. And he got involved. It wouldn't be long. We'd go ahead and start service. They'd spill out of the room, come down the aisles worshiping the Lord. Oh, aren't you glad to know that when two or three are gathered in his name, there he's going to be in the midst. And where he is, where his spirit is, hallelujah, there's going to be turnaround. How many know some folks' lives that need turned around? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the power of the Holy Spirit? Oh, we need him in every service. We don't need a showcase of talent. Thank God for the talent we have. What we need is when folks walk in here, they're aware of the Spirit of the Lord. He's eternal. It's an eternal spirit. Would you stand all over the building? Amen. Would you lift your hearts and hands and say, God, we are the temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Tonight, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We worship you, Lord. Oh, we praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not encouraging oddity or a change of protocol or any of that. But I mentioned this morning because it may happen at this altar tonight. Two or three of you may need to get together appropriately and say, oh, we need to pray for this one. We need to pray for this thing. And I promise you that if you will pray in the name of Jesus, you form a temple where the Spirit can dwell and can work. Oh, for the glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. One more time to see the glory of God. Oh, God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee where? In the sanctuary. Hallelujah. How many have seen the Spirit and the glory of God in the sanctuary? Do you have a hunger in your heart in spite of the attack of Satan, in spite of the reversals, in spite of the battles that you face, in spite of the disappointing news of those that have turned back from serving the Lord? Is there something in your heart that says, oh, if the glory of the Spirit could just fill the temple afresh, there'd be turnarounds. There'd be turning to God. There'd be turning from. And eternal things would happen in people's hearts. Would you like to come and gather in his name? Would you like to come and gather in his name? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He is here. Hallelujah. Why? We've gathered in his name. Hallelujah. Oh, I will bless his name. I'll pray in his name. I'll gather in his name.
say.